Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Brain World Barrier by Nate Myers is positioned as a narcissistic abuse recovery guide focused on recognizing toxic relationships, restoring personal peace, and beginning the process of healing after emotionally harmful relational patterns. Because publicly available information about the book is limited, its most reliable framing comes from its title, subtitle, category, and stated recovery orientation. The book belongs to the self-help and abuse recovery genre, rather than academic psychology or clinical treatment literature. Its purpose appears practical, helping readers identify behaviors commonly associated with narcissistic abuse, understand how such relationships can disrupt perception and emotional stability, and rebuild boundaries between internal experience and external manipulation. The distinctive phrase, brain-world barrier, suggests an emphasis on separating what happens inside the mind from the pressures, distortions, and demands of the outside relational environment. Within its category, the book is best understood as a guide for reflection, recognition, and early recovery rather than a diagnostic manual. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, recognizing toxic relationship patterns before they become normalized. A central theme indicated by the subtitle is recognition. The reader is invited to identify toxic relationships rather than simply endure them as confusing personal failures. In narcissistic abuse recovery literature, this usually matters because manipulation often becomes difficult to name from inside the relationship. Behaviors such as chronic blame shifting, emotional invalidation, unpredictable approval, control, and repeated boundary violations can be absorbed as normal if they occur over time. The practical value of a recognition-focused guide is that it changes the question from what is wrong with me to what pattern am I participating in or being subjected to. That shift is not only emotional but cognitive, because it gives readers a framework for organizing repeated experiences that may otherwise seem random. The brain-world barrier appears to fit this recovery function by treating harmful relationships as systems of influence that affect thought, self-trust, and peace. Its likely usefulness is strongest for readers who need language for patterns they already sense but have not yet clearly defined. Secondly, the brain-world barrier as a boundary between perception and external manipulation. The most distinctive element of the book is its title concept, the brain-world barrier. Without claiming a technical definition beyond the available title, the phrase suggests a boundary between inner mental life and the pressures of the surrounding relational world. In the context of narcissistic abuse recovery, this is a meaningful framing because abusive dynamics often work by weakening a person's confidence and perception. When a partner, parent, or other influential person repeatedly denies events, reframes harm, or makes affection conditional, the affected person may begin measuring reality through the abuser's reactions. A brain and world boundary concept can help describe the recovery task of distinguishing internal signals from external control. This includes noticing fear, confusion, guilt, and self-doubt without automatically treating them as proof of personal wrongdoing. The idea is useful because it moves beyond a simple list of bad behaviors and asks how those behaviors enter cognition. Recovery then becomes partly a process of rebuilding interpretive independence. Thirdly, reclaiming peace through limits, distance, and reduced emotional reactivity. The subtitle emphasizes reclaiming peace, which points to the practical side of recovery after sustained relational stress. In narcissistic abuse contexts, peace is not merely a pleasant mood. It is the restoration of ordinary psychological space after repeated intrusion, conflict, or vigilance. A guide with this focus would naturally direct attention toward boundaries, reduced access, and deliberate responses rather than automatic emotional engagement. The reasoning is straightforward. If a harmful relationship repeatedly rewards reaction, explanation, or self-defense, then peace often requires interrupting those cycles. This may include setting clearer limits, refusing circular arguments, documenting patterns for personal clarity, or seeking distance where safe and possible. The important feature is not dramatic confrontation, but consistency. Reclaiming peace also implies learning that calm does not have to be earned by appeasing another person. In this sense, the book's positioning aligns with a practical recovery goal, helping readers reduce the psychological dominance of toxic interactions and recover enough steadiness to make decisions from a less reactive state. Fourthly, healing from narcissistic abuse as a process of restoring self-trust. Healing is another major promise in the book's subtitle. And in this subject area, it is closely tied to self-trust. Narcissistic abuse is often discussed as damaging, not only because of overt cruelty, but because it can make a person doubt memory, judgment, emotional responses, and moral worth. A recovery guide can help by treating healing as more than leaving a relationship. It involves rebuilding the ability to interpret one's own experience without constant outside approval or fear of retaliation. This distinction matters because survivors may remain mentally entangled even after physical or social distance has been created. They may continue replaying arguments, seeking closure, or trying to prove the legitimacy of their pain. A book framed around recognition, peace, and healing can therefore support a slower internal transition, naming harm, reducing self-blame, identifying needs, and practicing decisions that align with those needs. The likely benefit is not instant resolution, but the gradual return of personal authority over memory, emotion, and choice. Lastly, a survivor-oriented guide rather than a clinical diagnosis manual. The book's genre and subtitle suggest a reader-facing recovery guide, not a professional diagnostic text. That distinction is important because narcissistic abuse literature can be useful while also carrying risks if readers treat every painful relationship as proof of a clinical personality disorder. The more reliable value of a guide like this is not in teaching readers to diagnose others, but in helping them assess relational impact. Do I feel chronically destabilized, controlled, blamed, or disconnected from my own judgment? This approach keeps the focus on safety, boundaries, and recovery rather than on winning an argument about another person's label. It also makes the book accessible to people who may not have formal psychological training but need a structured way to think about repeated harm. Its limitation is equally important. Severe abuse, threats, stalking, custody disputes, or trauma symptoms may require professional, legal, or crisis support. Read as a practical self-help resource. The book appears best suited for reflection, pattern recognition, and early recovery planning. In conclusion, the brain-world barrier is likely to be most useful for readers who suspect they have been affected by narcissistic or emotionally manipulative relationships and want a plain, recovery-oriented framework for making sense of their experience. It may also help people who have already left a harmful relationship but remain mentally preoccupied, self-doubting, or reactive to old patterns. Its practical benefit lies in organizing the recovery process around recognition, reclaimed peace, and healing rather than around blame alone. Intellectually, the title concept offers a useful way to think about the boundary between inner perception and external influence, which is a common challenge in emotionally coercive dynamics. Compared with many books in the narcissistic abuse category, its differentiating feature appears to be the brain-world barrier framing, which suggests attention to how outside behavior enters thought, emotion, and self-trust. Because public information about the book is limited, it should be approached as a self-help guide rather than a verified clinical authority. Readers seeking diagnosis, trauma therapy, legal advice, or safety planning should use it alongside qualified support. Its strongest role is as an accessible map for naming toxic patterns and beginning the work of psychological separation. If you would like to support Nate Myers, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.